Amen, Pat. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2, second chapter in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 15. Some people hate to do it. Some people love to do it. Some go to great lengths to avoid doing it. Some do it too much. While there are many different attitudes toward work, one thing remains constant. Work must be done. The title of my message today is God's View of Work. God's view of work. The Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor, and one day shalt thou rest. Many people talk about in the Bible that work is a curse. And I know where they get that from. They talk about in Genesis that because of sin, work came into the world. But work also is a blessing. Amen? Now, I want to tell you, finding the right kind of balance, when to work, how to work, how to balance work, how to balance family, how to balance life is very, very difficult. Amen? It's so difficult. And many times it causes great strain. It causes great consternation and a lot of problems in our family life. I can say this because anyone that knows how I grew up knows this. If he were sitting here today, he would agree. I grew up in a family where my father does not understand the balance of work. He works all of the time. He likes to work. He's like me. I've heard him say it, and I've said this. He wants to work. The day that he dies, he wants to work all day, go home, go to bed, and pass away. He loves to work. He loves to do the work of God. Always struggles with finding balance with things because he has so much work to do. I'm a father, and I'm a husband. And I'm a pastor and I'm a salesman. So finding the balance with work is very, very difficult. It's very difficult to please everybody, and it's very difficult to be at everything that you feel like you should be at and still do work the way that you think work should be done. If you were to ask me today the biggest frustration with COVID, you want me to tell you what it is in my life? It's not the sickness. It is the way it has crimped and the way it has stopped me from being the pastor that I like to be and being the workman that I like to be. It has put a huge crimp in my ability and my style. It has made my work not as enjoyable as it has been in the past. Now, folks, we have to work, amen? And when I talk about work, I want to make sure this work covers everybody. If you're a student here today, you work. And if you also work another job at McDonald's or babysitting, that falls in. But I mean, how do you work? You go to school. That is your job. That is your responsibility right now. So this sermon covers you. You may be a stay-at-home mom. Oh, my goodness. I work two jobs and would work four rather than trade places with my wife. You stay-at-home mom, you got a job and you got a huge job. And you work all the time. And thankfully, I do recognize that and see that. If you work what I guess we would call a regular job, if you go to work, you work for a company or you work for a business or maybe you work for yourself, you're included in this message. You say, Brother Jeff, I did that for years and years and years, and now I'm retired. I don't answer to any boss. You do, and you probably answer to more than one, but I know one you answer to, and that's the Lord. Amen? You still work. By the way, I would say to you, if you met with me in private and you said to me, well, I'm retired, I don't want to work anymore, can I tell you something with all the love that I have in my heart? You are ripe for death. You better find something, and you better find something to do for work. It may not be for pay, it may be volunteer, but you better find some work. The Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor. And as my wife says, don't cut the verse off. Remember, one day shalt thou rest. I tend to leave that one out. So let's talk about work today. It's interesting. What is tomorrow? It is Labor Day. Hysterical to me that most of you will not work tomorrow on Labor Day. I will. But you won't. Most people will not work on Labor Day, which makes absolutely no sense to me how you celebrate labor when you're not laboring. But it is a celebration of work. Those of you that have a job, are you grateful for your job? Say amen. Let me tell you, there are lines of people right now that would love to have your job tomorrow. You may say to yourself, good, give it to them. But in reality, you don't mean that. Because when the bills come due at the end of the month, when you got to pay for things, you need that job, right? So let's look at work from a Christian perspective. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and we were talking about sabbaticals. And there's this new thing that preachers do. They take sabbaticals. He said, when are you going to take your sabbatical? I said, I'm never going to take one. I said, regular people that work regular jobs don't take sabbaticals. They work, and if they can work, I can work. And I think it's almost arrogant to think that you need to take one or that you've earned one when everyone else has to work. How can you sit up there and preach to people when in reality you're not living like they live? 6 days shalt thou labor, and one day shalt thou rest. We all work. So let's talk about work today, and I'm going to talk about work through Scripture, okay? The first thing I want you to see is this. Work is ordained by God. Work is ordained by God. Now, all of us know some people who work harder at not working than they do working. I know why you're laughing, because you know someone that does that, don't you? I do. I know people that will actually stress themselves more trying to plot how to get out of working than they would if they just went and did it. Work is ordained by God. It was His creation from the beginning. God gave us the task of ruling over and taking care of His creation in Genesis. They began to work, they took care of creation. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Work is for a lifetime. Work is for, work may change. I have no intention of selling food until I'm 90 years old. I have friends that want to do that. You guys do that all you want. You can. But work is for a lifetime. I have no intention of quitting work, and I like to work. I enjoy being out with people. I enjoy earning something. It takes my stress from me. When I was out for 12 days with COVID, I was going crazy. Now they wanted me to contact and talk with companies and this and that and these and those. They said, guess what, Jeff? You can have short-term leave. I said, keep your short-term leave. I'm going back to work. I got to get out of here. I got to get to doing something. I got to get back in the routine. Work is ordained by God, and work is for a lifetime. As you labor today, remember, it's for a lifetime. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, listen to what it says. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. You know what that means? You're supposed to work until the day they put you in the ground. Some of you go, oh no. Some of you go, oh me, you got to be kidding. You're supposed to work your entire life. Again, you don't have to work for a boss. I'm not talking about working for a company, but doing work. Work is ordained of God. Work is for a lifetime. Work is not a punishment. God did not create work as a drudgery, but as a gift of fulfillment in your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. The Bible says, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, who else can hasten hereunto more than I? Nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Work is not a punishment. Work is an opportunity. Work is a gift. Work is a gift from God. Thank God today for the jobs that you have, the responsibilities that you have, and thank God that He gives you the ability to be able to perform those functions. You should thank God every day when you get up for work. Instead of being mad that the alarm went off, thank God that you can hear the alarm. Thank God that you can roll out of bed and get going. Thank God that you got a car to take you. Thank God that you got a clientele that needs you. Thank God that you have a job. Some people here today, you're past retirement age, your family wants you to retire, and you're actually having to fight to keep working. Keep fighting, keep doing it. Work is not a punishment. Work is a good thing. It's something God gives you to be able to fulfill and to be able to accomplish. We always talk about goals. And usually we preach on it one time a year at New Year's resolutions. But you got to weekly and you got to almost daily have a goal. You got to have a reason to get up. You got to have a reason to accomplish. And that reason is work. So again, it's not a punishment. It's a gift from God, and it's given to you to be able to fulfill. Now, you may say to yourself, Brother Jeff, 6 days shalt thou labor. God gave us work. I'm not arguing with you. I think it's a good thing. I think we ought to work. What is the definition of work? Now, you got to be careful of this because some people's definition of work is not really work. Okay? Sitting there watching football games is not work. Taking a 3-hour nap on the couch is not work. Driving around looking for somewhere to eat, that's not work. What is work? Here's a simple definition of what work is, or the purposes of work. 3 things. Number one, to provide money or resources to supply the necessities of life. To provide, number two, for a quality of life. And number three, to serve God. Serve God. I'm what's called a bivocational pastor, and that's simply what it means. It means I work an outside job just like you do and pastor. So I understand completely what it's like to get up every day and go to work out in the world. And I got to tell you, I like that. I like the fact that I still have that foot in the world and the other foot in the church. I like that. I understand why people do what they have to do still. I want to tell you as a Christian, some of the worst examples and some of the worst people that I've worked in my life with, you know what they call themselves? Christians. Lazy. Looking for every excuse in the world not to work. Looking for every excuse to cut corners, and many times like to use the church and different things as their avenue to keep from working. 6 days shalt thou labor. Some of you are looking for the opportunity to be an example for the Lord and make a difference and be a light. Be a hardworking Christian at your worldly job. Amen? Make a difference. Let people look at your work ethic and say, I want that work ethic, and come to you and say, man, why do you work like I do? And then you go and tell them, because work is from God. The first thing I mentioned earlier about its purpose, to provide financial resources and money to supply the necessities of life. I thank God every day for work, and one of the reasons I thank God for it is this. I can pay my bills with it. My kids that I love more than anything in the world can eat. My wife that I love more than anybody can be provided for. My wife who can actually stay at home and take care of my kids. It's because of work, and it's because of opportunities that have come from work. There's a satisfaction that will come over your life when you get that paycheck. Or you get those honors, or even better than that, when you see that you're in a home. And when you see that you're able to provide food, clothing, shelter, cars, and different things. It comes from hard work. And God gives you that ability and gives you that opportunity so you can provide for your family. Parents, be very careful that you don't step in the way of God's plan for your children with that. If you continue to provide, if you continue to give, and you continue to give them everything they need without teaching them how to work, you are hurting those children. You are not teaching those children the way the world is. You need to teach them to work. You can reward them and you can give them things for doing good things, but teach them the value of work. Our society today is lazy. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Lazy. You go in a restaurant, they're lazy. You go to get your car worked on, they're lazy. You go to church a lot, you'll see preachers, lazy. Everywhere you go to the hospitals, everywhere, anywhere you'll see a bunch of lazy people looking for every excuse in the world not to do what they're supposed to do. And you wonder why our society is the way it is today. They're lazy. They expect everything to be given to them. We've got huge issues right now, and these issues are not going to stop in the workforce. If the government continues just giving everybody money for doing nothing, you really think they're going to get excited about going to having to work hard to get something? They're not going to be. When they get hungry, they're going to come back to work. You understand that principle? Say amen. It's a godly principle. Work is an opportunity. Labor Day weekend work is an opportunity to provide for your family. Be grateful for that when you're upset at your job. It gives you an opportunity to provide for quality of life. Some of us here today, and I'm in this boat, God has blessed you. Why don't you stop for a moment and remember how you were raised? Raised by good people. Raised by people who did not have the means that you have today. And think about what God has allowed you to have. And the quality of life. You say, Brother Jeff, I don't really have a quality of life. You do have quality of life if you're sitting in the Stark Lake Baptist Church today. You have quality of life. As far as I know, we have no church member that's homeless. If you know of someone, I need to know that. I do not believe anybody's homeless. You look around our body, I want to say this the right way so it's not taken wrong. Nobody in here is starving. Amen? No, it's only 11:45. If it's 12:15, I'd let you throw the starving thing out at me. But nobody's starving. Your stomach may be growling, you may be ready. You're not starving. You don't have to eat in the next hour to sustain yourself. You've been fed. We have zero naked people in the church today. We have zero people in the church who are not adequately and appropriately clothed. Some of you are saying that Brother Jeff would turn that air up, maybe. But here's the deal. You got on what you need to have on today. You'll leave here and you'll get in your car and or you'll have a ride with someone. You'll have transportation to and from where you need to be. You'll go to your home, your place of abode. And guess what you'll do after you do that? You'll go to the fridge and or a restaurant and you'll bust out something to eat. We all have it. Amen. How many of you today remember the days when you didn't have some of that, and some of you, you didn't have hardly any of it? Look what God has provided you through the opportunity of work. By the way, I will say to you, we have more than our parents had, and most of us didn't work as hard as our parents worked. God's been extremely good to us. Amen? I should hear an amen from every person sitting in here, or just go and take your nap. Or you're lazy. Because if you're lazy, that bothers you. Be grateful. Let me hear an amen. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Who provides for you, he can take back from you. You understand that? Get your attitude right on some things. Be grateful for the opportunity to work. You say, Brother Jeff, I get tired of working. Yeah, I understand that. I'm not going to tell you that when the alarm goes off every morning, I spring out of bed and I sing glory as I get ready to get in my car and drive off. I don't do that. Some days I drive off and I go, Lord, thank you for this job, but if you could please have this person not be there when I get there so I don't have to see them, I'd greatly appreciate it. And the Lord always has a sense of humor because when I pray that, they're standing at the door waiting on me. And I just laugh as I get out of my car. Thank you, Lord. But I'll tell you what, if I lost my jobs today, my attitude would change real quick. You talk about getting down on your knees and begging God for things. Boy, the whole playing field would change, wouldn't it? Be grateful for the jobs that you have. Work calls for obedience. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22, the Bible says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Servants, obey in all things your masters. You may not like that verbiage, but let me explain it to you today. If you work for someone, you're to do what that boss tells you to do. You understand that? Say amen. Listen, is the boss always going to say what you want to hear? No. He's not going to. He's running a district or he's running a group. He's not going to always say what you want him to say. But the scripture commands you, if you work, you are to obey what your boss has told you. Do you think I always agree with my bosses? You say you don't have any bosses. Who are you kidding? I work for a Fortune 100 company. I've got bosses everywhere. If you think I'm the boss at church, you don't know some of the people I have to work with at church. I'm told what to do all the time, and think about it. Then I go home and I got a house full of girls. You think I don't know how to be told what to do? I'm pretty doggone good and kind of lost when I'm not being told what to do. A good worker is obedient. You want to move up in the chain? If you're young here today and you want to learn how to move up in the world, and maybe your desire is to be promoted and be a boss or make more money, whatever, do what your boss tells you to do. If it's not unethical and it's not wrong, do what he tells you to do. You say, well, that's not the way I do it. That's okay. Do it anyway. I've told this story before. It had a lasting influence. When I was a senior in high school, and I was one of two returning lettermen on my high school basketball team, and we hired a new coach, and he came in with an attitude. He didn't like returning lettermen. I got to play and everything, but he constantly was just on my case. And I'm not going to mention his name because some people in here know him. He's really a jerk. He just really is. Some people are, and he was at that time for sure. And I went to my dad, and I said, Dad, how long have I been playing ball? He said, years and years. I said, ever gripe about a coach? He said, no. What's the deal? I said, I can't stand this guy. And I showed my dad a list, and I pulled it out of things that he was doing wrong. That it wasn't, there was no question about who was right and wrong. He was wrong. He shouldn't have been doing what he was doing. I could have gone to the principal. I could have gone to anyone and gotten him in trouble. It was wrong. It was mistreatment, and he was just being rude. And my dad said, let me see that list, and he read it, and I thought my dad would say, well, let me go talk to him. You know what my dad said? He said, son, what are you going to do when you grow up and you get out in the world and your bosses do things wrong to you? He said, you going to run to me to help you? He said, I'm not going to be there. He said, here's what you got to learn to do. You got to learn to work through difficult situations. You got to learn how to work with people that you don't agree with. He said, you got to win this guy over. I said, boy, I really do appreciate that I come to you for the first time in 18 years asking you to go in and do something. He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm going to support you. I'm going to come to your games. He said, you are going to learn how to work with a difficult person. Can I just tell you something? That's some of the best wisdom you can ever give anybody. Because guess what I spend my life doing? Dealing with difficult people. I'm a salesman. You know what I look like to most people? Here comes the guy trying to get money from me. And that's what they look at. They may like me. We may talk food. But in a real matter of fact, after we're done talking, the speech is coming, Joe. Hey, you took my food. Where's that check? And nobody likes to give anybody a check. But I'm that guy. And you think people aren't difficult from time to time? I've heard every excuse in the world from where a check can be. Did you know it? I left it at the house. Well, we'll go to your house. No, we can't do that. My wife's stuck in the purse. Where does your wife work? I'll go get it. All different, every situation you can ever imagine. I only have cash. I'll take it. So I learned from that valuable principle that one day I would work out in the world, and guess what, Dale? I just thought everybody would like Jeff, and everybody would get along with Jeff, and there wouldn't be a difficulty. One in the world, because I'm a nice guy, and I assume they're nice people. That don't happen. Obey them that have the rule over you. Honor your bosses. Your boss asks you to work overtime, work overtime. I was talking to my daughter the other day, her husband's a fireman. And overtime doesn't happen a whole lot with a fireman. And his boss came to Daniel and said, Daniel, I need you to work 48 hours straight. I need you to take on a 24. And I was talking to Kylie. I said, what'd you tell him? She said, well, I told him he could do what he wanted. I said, well, you're crazy. I said, get on the phone and call him back. Tell him to go to work. I said, not a lot, a whole lot of overtime money flying around right now. You take that work. He did, by the way. Kids are hard working. Guess what happened the next week? He said, can you do it again? He did it again. Why? Let me tell you. I explained to my daughter, when that boss is in a bind and he needs somebody to cover vacation, when that boss is in a bind and they're short with COVID, guess who's going to get that overtime money? It's going to be him. Tell him to work. Do what his boss wants. You'll be all right. You can come stay with me. I didn't want you to move out in the first place. You can come stay with me while she's there, while he's there. Work. Work is ordained of God, and work is an opportunity. Can I tell you something? Some of the most wonderful experiences that I've ever had in my life have come through work. One of my jobs, and I hate to call it a job, is being a pastor of a church. You know what? There's not a Sunday ever that I come in this building that I'm not excited about being in church. You know why? I've already done the sermon. I've thought about it. So if I'm going to get excited about that, I would have got excited by Saturday. The excitement on Sunday is this. I get to be around people with a like mind and people that I love. It keeps me going. Do I have a bad week every once in a while? Yes. Am I sad that we lost Bill in this week? I'm very, very sad. I know where Bill's at and I'm happy, but the inside of me, my heart breaks. Sweet Hazel, best woman probably walking around this planet. She knows where Bill's at, but her heart is broken. That breaks my heart. But you know what that means? That means we love each other. That's why our hearts are breaking and we care. Every Sunday I get up, I know I get to see people. I know we're going to talk about racing. I know we're going to talk about tires. And I know we're going to talk about the Gators until they lose. And then I know Benny ain't going to be here. And you know, there's different things, that different people that I talk to about different things. Just catching up and just seeing each other, it makes it a great day. Amen? In the workforce, I'm not going to go too deep into what I do. There are certain days I love. I love Friday. You say, that's the end of your work week. It's not the end of mine, so that's not why. Every Friday, 11 o'clock, I hit my diner. He has the same thing for me every Friday. Salisbury steak and stewed apples, three portions of them. Every Friday. When I go to bed on Thursday night, you know what's on my mind? I cannot wait to wake up because at 11 o'clock, I know what I'm doing. Every Tuesday, I will go into a home for handicapped adults and go in there and just love every minute of being there. Because I just go in there, the ladies, they're saints. I go, it's just a blessing. You say you have any customers you don't like? Couple. But on the whole, no, it's a blessing and an honor to be able to work and just go out and enjoy people. So when you're sitting here today and you're saying, I don't want to work anymore, think about your life if you didn't have those people from work in your life. Miss Butler, she keeps me in the straight and narrow. And I'm not married to her. That's an added bonus. Two good people to keep me in the straight and narrow. I don't ever call her mad. Well, every once in a while I get mad. She's listening. I got to admit, every once in a while I get upset. But it's just not every one of those things where, oh, I don't want to call or I don't want to do. I'm grateful to God for the opportunity to work. Are you, say amen? Those of you who put your life into children, are children aggravating? I looked at you on purpose. Can I just tell you something? You were an aggravating child too. You may not think that, but if I get your mother alone with your back turned, she'll say, oh yeah, oh yeah. It's just part of growing up. It's part of being a child and getting older. Is there anything in this world better to invest your life in than children and the Lord's work? I can't think of anything better. Some of you teach school. I could not do it today. I go in schools, you say you're never in them, you're wrong. I handle school accounts and I go into schools. I work with public school football. I do see not what you see, but I do see enough to know that your job is very, very difficult. And I'm not minimizing the difficulty, but you have the opportunity to invest in our future. Praise God for that opportunity. Stay-at-home moms, let me tell you, if I won every trophy in the world in sports and made more money than I knew how to spend, if the truth be known, the most valuable things that I have in my life are my wife and those girls. They're my treasure. They're everything. If everything else falls away and they come out A-okay, life is good. And I have entrusted them with who? God and her. I try to fulfill the role of a father, and the way that I know how to fulfill, I say to you today that I know this, and I know this with God listening to me. I know my heart, and I know my intention, but I also know I'm a horrible person with balance. I'm the worst. I'm terrible. I don't understand. I am there. You need something, you got to pay for something, my wallet's there. You need me to take you somewhere, you need to go to the airport, I am there. I love you, I enjoy you. But let me tell you, the truth must be known, my wife raises those kids. And many times as a man, I so appreciate the fact that she actually uplifts the position that I have and gives me a lot of credit, brother, that really shouldn't even be sent my way, if you want to know the truth. You say, are my girls aggravating? I know girls are aggravating. They aggravate me, and I ain't as near as involved as she is. Sadie, you're aggravating too, just so you know that. All right? People are aggravating. But what an opportunity. Amen? Let's go on. I'm going to get you out on time. Read first the child line for the holiday. Okay? Work should be done with excellence. It should be done not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as the Lord and not unto men. You are to work as unto the Lord. Brother and I went and had breakfast together at the Waffle House yesterday. And brother knows right where I'm going on. I got there before brother, and I went and sat down, and I was watching. I'm always watching workers and people. That's what I love to do, is watch people. And this boy was cleaning the windows at the Waffle House, and the windows are long windows. They're wall-like windows all the way around. And let me tell you, before I told you, before you got there, that boy already started on them windows. And I watched him, and I sat there, and I texted brother and told him I was here. And I watched him, and I watched him, and man, this, I don't know how long, this had already gone on for an hour, hour and a half. And finally he walked over to, I had a Rutgers t-shirt on, and he said, did you go to Rutgers? I said, no, one of my girls I coached is a coach there. He said, well, I lived in Newark. He said, it's underwater. And I got to talk to him. And I said, man, I got to tell you, I've been watching you do your windows over here. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, you don't know what a temptation it is for me to want to just walk up to your window and go, put my handprint on there and put a smear mark after watching everything you've done. He broke out laughing. And we got talking about windows. And he said, you know, the worst part is, at the door. He said, kids come and they can't reach the push bar, so they just, 10 fingers, Sammy, you know, 10 fingers, and they ruin all my, he said, and I'm telling you, he said, every Saturday I do this whole building all the way around. He said, that's the only time it's done except for the door through the week. He said, so I do it right. And so I started telling him a story. And Dad, I hope you listen to my sermon today, because I'm going to brag on you right here. I told him, I said, you know, I said, it's funny that you clean your windows the way you do in your restaurant. I said, my father is anal. He's a pastor, and he's anal about the look of the church. I said, his maintenance person cleans the front door 4 and 5 times a day because he cannot stand smear marks on the front of the church. If he walked in our church today, he would walk up to me and give me a hug. He said, who's weeding around your church? I mean, that's just how he looks and sees everything. And I told this boy, I said, you know, I said, so I guess I look at stuff that you do when other people don't. I said, because I grew up with someone who sees spots and cobwebs and dirt and different things. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know, why does my dad care if there is marks on the front door of the church? You know why? Because it's the church of God. It's God's church, and the appearance of God's church should be a certain way. That's the way it ought to be. It ought to be that way here. It ought to be that way. It is God's church. And he doesn't want somebody walking in and saying, do they ever clean in this church? There's smear marks all over the front door. That's exactly what this verse is talking about right here. You say, Brother Jeff, I don't get that. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Work is to be done with excellence. I will never walk in Waffle House again that the first thing I don't do is look at their windows. Did you know that? I'm going to drive home today and I'm going to take a peek, see if there's a smear mark on those windows yet. Excellence. Your work should be done with excellence. You should do your work right. Your boss shouldn't have to come to you and check up if you've done your work. Your work should be done with excellence. You know why? Because you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you say, I do that at church. You should do that at your work. You should do that at your home. It should be your way of life. Excellency. You agree with that? Say amen. Should be that way. Here's the last thing, and you can go to lunch. Work provides an opportunity to witness. One of our church members called me. I texted her. Melinda, she's my neighbor. I saw her car one day. I said, you going to trip yet? Question mark, texted me, let me know if you left, because she was kind of concerned about weather and roads and different things. She texted back, she said, I did, and I got a story to tell you. And Melinda always has a story to tell. So I said, well, tell me. She said, I'm in, I don't remember the name of the town. She said, I'm in South Carolina. I stayed at a hotel last night on my way to such and such. I said, oh, it's great. She said, let me tell you what the Lord did. She said, I met a, I think it was Devontae or Devon something. Anyway, she said, met this gentleman that was working a checkout in the hotel. And she said, Brother Jeff, God gave me the chance to witness to him. There was no one else in line. It's a small town. And she said she witnessed to him and talked to him, and the hotel was under construction in certain halves. So the gentleman said, well, you seem like a nice lady. He said, look, I'm going to give you a couple of keys here. He said, because we're under construction. He said, go look at whichever one of the two you think is nicer. He said, we're working. And he said, you take that room. And she thanked him and this and that and these and those. Well, she came back the next morning, and he's still there. And she came down. She said, you still working? He said, yeah. He said, somebody called off. So I did the 11 to 7, and I got turned around, and I got to do the 7 to 3. Once again, nobody there. Brenda talked to him about Jesus. Guess what that young man did that morning? Right there in his place of work, accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Praise the Lord for somebody that cared about a young man that was working in the front of the hotel. In a little bit, another one of the employees came in. And Melinda told him, said, Devontae, I can't remember Devontae, name doesn't matter. He said, will you tell him what you just did? He said, I just accepted Jesus as his Savior. This new person came in and said, praise God, I've been telling him forever he needs to do that. Our prayers are answered. An opportunity to witness while you're at work. Gary Crawford, Dana's here. I love Gary. Gary's the hardest working man I know. Gary always tries to help somebody. You go to Gary and you're hard up, Gary tries to swing a deal. If you ain't got nothing, Gary ain't going to let you wobble out of there. He tends to, I'm sure if Dana knew everybody he helped, it might drive her crazy. But he does, always. I've sent people, said Gary. This guy can probably pay you $20 a week or whatever, can't do it. Yeah. We'll figure it all out, send him on. He always tries to help people. He works all the time. He works too much. But you know what? He uses his work as an opportunity to bless people. Farmer Van. I love Van. Van's a good old guy. He's one of those salt of the earth nice people. There's only one way I like seeing Van better than the way he is right now. It's when he's got some vegetables stuck on his shoulder and he's bringing them into the church for people to enjoy. And he has times where he gets overloaded or gets opportunities. He brings in and says, Brother Jeff, take some of this for you. Hand it out to other people. Let them do it. He gets opportunity to minister to people with his work. One of the reasons I cannot walk away from the job I have now in the world is everybody loves to eat. And people get happy when they see food. So I'm able to bring happiness to people. You have an opportunity to be a witness. If you work at Disney, you can be a witness. In a school, you can be such a witness by just being kind. You don't know what those kids are living. Some of these kids don't see any kindness. Some of them, as a matter of fact, are mistreated. And you can be that kind. You can be that kind person. Work gives you an opportunity to be a witness. Are you a witness with your work? Are you grateful for your job? Do you believe that work comes from God? And are you thankful that God chose you to do the work that you do? You can be a teacher. You can serve up food. You can be a secretary. You can be a crossing guard. You can put on roofs. You can put on tires. You can have racing teams. You can mow. You can do whatever it is. Different things for different people. Different strokes for different folks. But here's the deal. We all should be thankful. We all should do it the right way. We should all look for opportunities to be a witness to people. Can you do that? Say amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We stand for a hymn of invitation. Never want to take for granted that there's someone here who's never accepted Christ as their Savior. Say it every time, and I mean it. You don't need to worry about work and what I preached on. You need to take care of getting Jesus in your heart and life. He'll help you with the other. Amen. Maybe there's someone here looking for a church home. Folks, what you see is what you get in our church. We're going to keep on rolling. We've got Sunday morning, Wednesday night programs. Everything's going pretty much like it was. We We strove to do that, and I think we can be able to do that. By the way, praise God through your prayers and God's healing. Right now, we have no one with COVID. I'm very, very grateful for that. Keep praying. Say, man, I need to get involved in a church. Well, if you need to get involved, get involved. Get to work in the church. Maybe some of you don't need to raise your hands where I see you. Say, Brother Jeff, I got to tell you about me and work. I'm a sorry worker. I do just the minimum that I can do. I try to get away from work as fast as I can get away from work. I really don't work as unto the Lord. As a fellow brother that loves you and a fellow Christian, I ask you to change that way of living and thinking. People are watching you. People expect you to be different. You have a Savior who said he worked 6 days and he rested one. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let him have his sweet way today.